Psalms chapter 69, verse number 1. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord. In an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. Mine adversaries are all before thee. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. Let's pray this morning. Father, Lord, I pray that you just guide my words. Lord, I have something that on my heart, and Lord, I pray that you'd help me be able to take it from my heart and be able to convey it with words. And Lord, I pray for those here that are struggling, that are just need some help, Lord. I pray that they would just recognize their need of their help and reach out for somebody to help them. And God, you've offered that help to me many times in life. And Lord, sometimes I want to squander and just flounder. And Lord, but the times that I've reached out and sought your help, Lord, you've always been there. You've always helped me. Lord, I pray for those this morning that are going through hard times. I pray for those that just need a special encouragement. I pray that that would be this to them. I pray for those that, Lord, are making some decisions in life and that could change the future of their life. And Lord, I pray that you'd help those. Help those young people in here this morning that they've been brought up in certain situations. And Lord, maybe not their fault, but Lord, I pray that you'd help them to get the victory. Help them to live a life that makes a difference. Help them to live a life that counts for you. Lord, I thank you for all that you do. Help us this morning. Help the junior churches. Help our pastors. He's away. Bless him and Mrs. Ross. Thank you for them so much. And pray that you just be with them. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, flip back. You're in Psalms chapter number 69. I want to show you another verse. Psalms chapter number 42, or 40. I apologize. Psalms chapter number 40. I want to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about the miry clay, the miry clay. Psalms chapter number 40, verse number 2. Bible says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. You know, one of the blessings of living where we live, praise the Lord, in southern Indiana, is a lot of people have been stuck in the mud at some point or another. And that is a blessing, whether you realize it or not. You know, some people make a sport out of it, and it's mud bogging. And I've never been mud bogging before, but it looks like fun. It really does. It looks like, I don't know what the fascination is about, you know, guys try to get the nicest truck and go through the deepest mud hole, But there's something, you know, fascinating, something manly about, you know, just having mud all over your truck at all times, if possible. And so a lot of people have been, you know, stuck in the mud. I remember when I was in college, I would always come back. Of course, I was going to college in Lexington, Kentucky. Well, if you've been in Lexington, Kentucky, it's not exactly, you know, it's not our area, okay? It's pretty, you know, everybody knocks Kentucky, but trust me, Lexington's got a lot of money in Lexington, all right? There's big bucks in Lexington. So I'm going, you know, I come back for Thanksgiving break, and of course, Dad's farming, so I get in the truck, and, you know, we do whatever farmers do, okay? And, you know, we're driving through the fields. Well, I almost never wash my truck because it's kind of pointless for me. I wash it, and then it gets dirty the next day, so it's kind of pointless, unless I go on a trip, and then I'll wash it. But, you know, so I'd go back to Lexington, I mean, and it'd be pretty bad. It'd be mud everywhere on it, and numerous times, because, you know, Dr. Jorgensen, if you know Dr. Jorgensen, he's not used to this area, and he would come up to me. He said, "Chad, where have you been?" And I was like, "Well, I went home." And the funny thing is a lot of times I wouldn't even have to get off road. I mean, you go in on our roads around here, you're off road while being on the road, okay? And he'd be like, "Did you get off the road? Did you get stuck?" I'm like, "No, that's just our roads back home. That's just how dirty it gets." And I would have to go wash my truck and make him more happy with me. You know, you try to keep him happy if all possible, since he is the dean of students. So, but I remember times growing up. You know, most guys in here, you've been, you know, you want to see how good your tires are on your truck, and you try to go. You know, you see how much mud you can go through. I remember, you know, I went with the Waltons, Nathan and Isaac. We was growing up. We'd go take the four-wheelers and go through mud, and it's a lot of fun. You know, especially when you're the guy in the front, and you can sit in the mud puddle, and then, you know, everybody's coming up behind you, and then you just hammer it, and it throws mud everywhere. And it's a lot of fun. I don't know what's so fun about it, but there's just something exciting about going mudding. Unless the only time, you know, it's always fun when you can go through the puddle or you know, through the mud hole. And then there's the times that you don't make it. And it's kind of humiliating. You know, you got to go ask, you know, somebody, you know, your wife to come with her SUV and pull your big diesel pickup truck out of the mud. That's always humiliating. But it's happened. Trust me. I've been there, done that. And so there's those times when you don't like being stuck in the mud. But I'm not necessarily talking about taking your vehicle, although that's fun. I'm talking about, you know, when you're walking and you get stuck in the mud, okay? And we were at Brother Levi's the other day, and we went swimming in his pond. And of course, it's a pond, okay? So you've got all the muck in the bottom. And you walk out there in the muck. And if you've ever swam in a pond, I mean, it feels like it just oozes everywhere. And it goes up over your calves, and it's nasty. And I remember growing up, my mom and dad had this little pond. It was a $25 pond. That's what it cost to dig it. So you can imagine the size of it. So, but I would go, you know, that was, you know, when I was little, that was a lake to me. I mean, that was huge. And you know, honestly, now I could probably wade across it, and it could be up to, you know, mid-thigh, something like that. But that was a big deal growing up. And I finally got old enough that I could go out and, you know, I could walk around the edges without drowning. And my mom didn't know I was doing it, but we could do it safely. And we'd go out, and I would take a fish seine. And I didn't ever know what it was. It was up in my dad's rafters, up in his garage, and it was just a big net. And well, I figured out later what it was a fish seine. And we'd go and we'd seine for minnows or crawdads to use for bait. And we'd go in there, and we'd be, you know, and I remember going in, and you sink down in that mud, and you're trying to walk across the pond with this fish seine, and you can't get your legs up out of the mud. Every time you take a step, it sucks you down. And I remember that. I remember doing that just recently, and I guess this is probably where the Lord kind of gave me this thought, and I want to be a help. I want to be a blessing to folks this morning, but recently, of course, we just got done building our house, and God gave us, I will say, I don't know if we could have asked for any better weather as far as a house building process. I mean, last year was phenomenal. I mean, we didn't have rain when we didn't need rain. But towards the end of the year, you know, you get into those fall rains, the ground is changing. We were building my pole barn, the shop, and some of the guys will remember this. I had a big skid steer. It was the biggest skid steer Case makes, is on tracks, and it was soup. I mean, there was rock underneath kind of, but it was just that 4 inches of muck, you know, where you run over a bunch with a piece of equipment and it just turns to slop is all it is. I mean, there's no way to describe it. So we took the skid steer, it was late one night, and I took the skid steer and I pushed up a huge pile of just, that's all it was slop. We was trying to get down where we could get to something solid, and it was just slop. I mean, it was one of those piles when you push it up, it just starts sliding back down. That's how soupy it was. And I got done that night. I mean, it was big. It was half the size of this platform at least, and probably was as tall as I could get it to stay, which was probably 3 foot. And it was just slop everywhere. I went in that night and I said, "Hey, just tell the kids to be careful over there," because honestly, it was to the sloppiness that if you would walk, an adult would walk across it, you'd probably sink to your waist. Okay, that's how sloppy it was. And some of you have been in cow pastures, and I don't know what it is about cow pastures, but they can be the nastiest, sloppiest thing that you can ever be in. And it's kind of like that, but it was just mud. And I told her, I said, "Hey, just be careful. Don't be careful letting the girls go out there. You know, I've got some little, you know, Micah is probably this, and then Gwen's really about the same size. And then Emily's just a little bit taller. Well, I mean, if they're to my waist and I can sink to my waist, I mean, it could be bad for them." So I said, "Just be careful, you know, have the kids, you know." So, you know, as good parents, you know, we're at home. We didn't really pay attention where the kids were going. The next day, I think it was the next day. Of course, the sun came out. It had dried up a little bit. And we hear this screaming, okay? And, you know, it's kind of that screaming that kids do when they're having a good time, but they're slightly concerned, okay? And we hear this screaming. You know, being the typical dad, I'm like, "All right, guys, let's get this done." And we're working on the building. I'm ignoring the screaming. And Rachel comes over and she says, "Hey, the kids are on top of that pile and they're stuck." I'm like, "Okay." Well, you know, the problem is they're lighter than I am. So they can go farther out than I can. Okay. And so being the good dad, I'm said, "Well, go get them out." And so being the good wife, she's like, "All right, I'm and so she goes over there, and this is, I'm not kidding, they're up to their knees, okay? They're wearing, you know, the rubber boots that really don't do much good because they're only that tall. They're wearing those rubber boots, both of them. You know, that was going to save them from the mud, but they're up to past their knees in mud, okay? Well, then every time, if you've been stuck in mud, and I mean stuck, every time you move, you know, you try to pull up. Well, when you try to pull up one leg, you're pushing more pressure on the other, and they're just, every time, so they're, and they can, they're like holding on to each other, and they're holding hands. Their face has got the biggest grin on them, but they're, they're screaming. And so my wife goes over there, and she can't quite reach them. Okay, and she's trying to get the kids to, "Come on, Gwen, give me your hand." So Gwen finally, you know, she gives him her hand, and, you know, she's trying to pull her. So Gwen's like almost laying in the mud, and we're trying to pull her out of the mud. And finally, you hear that distinct sound, right? Everybody knows what that suction. The only problem is the only part that came out is Gwen, and, you know, her boots are buried, you know, 16 inches in this muck. And then Emily's the next one. And at some point, you know, my wife is getting farther and farther into the mud. Okay. So this is becoming a family event. And I'm over there working. I hear all this laughing. I mean, they are laughing. They're having a time of their life while they're stuck in the mud. Okay. And I'm working, you know, just whatever. And finally my wife is like, "You may have to get the excavator." And it's like, if your wife ever says you may have to get the excavator, you know, she normally doesn't want me to use the excavator because I'm tearing something up or digging something, but She's like, you may have to get the excavator. And I'm like, oh no. You know, I can only, you know, I gotta wrap a harness around my kid to pull her out with an excavator. That's not OSHA approved, I'm sure. And so she managed to get Emily, she pulled her out, and then, you know, she's like, all right, I got the kids out, you get the boots out. I'm like, oh. So I had to go retrieve the boots, okay? But, you know, we talk about this miry clay, and that's what it is. That's that miry clay that you're stuck in, okay? And it's funny because as a human, you think, oh, I surely can't, you know, I can get out of that. That's everybody's philosophy. I can get out of that. That's no big deal. You know, most guys, my truck can go through that. And then, you know, they go 10 feet and they're sunk, okay? You know, everybody's philosophy is, I'm okay. I'm okay. I got this. My head's still above water, right? Okay? But we see David here, he's kind of in this miry clay situation. He's stuck. And we see him in several different places. In verse number 2, the Bible says in Psalm 69, verse 2, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. You know what that means? There's no bottom. I keep sinking and I can't reach the bottom. Okay? I'm not a very good swimmer. We was over at Brother Levi's and I wore a life jacket. See, Brother Chad, that's stupid. Well, you can say what you want, but, you know, I don't have to worry about, you know, sinking and not being able to get to the top. So, to me, it's worth it. But, I mean, we still had fun. But, you know, when you can't reach the bottom, that's a different feeling. Okay? You know, it's fine to walk around in a swimming pool, but when you go in a big lake or a pond that you can't reach the bottom, that's kind of a different, oh, man, I can't stand up. And you kind of have that feeling. Well, that's kind of where David is. I can't stand up. I don't even feel the bottom. You know, everybody talks about quicksand, about how quicksand will actually eat you alive. Well, from what I've heard, it doesn't actually. It's just your movement. And basically, it's just a big pit full of water and sand, okay? And your movements basically suck you down, okay? And they say if you put your arm, you know, you want to displace as much surface area as possible and to keep yourself from sinking. But what is that? That's that suction, okay? And most people think, well, I've got this under control. I can handle this. I've got life under control, okay? I'm doing okay, Brother Chad. I've got this. But, you know, honestly, a lot of us are going to have these times, and if you're not in one, you will have one, when you're just going to get stuck, whether it be by your own doing. Or young people, and we've got a lot of bus young people here. Honestly, a lot of times young people listen to me. I want to help you this morning. Sometimes you're stuck because of your circumstances. Okay? You're stuck because of your circumstances. You didn't have the choice of where you grew up. Okay? You don't have the choice of who your mom and dad is, who your brother or sisters are, where you live, where you go to school. You don't have those choices in life. Okay? And if you're not careful, what people tend to do is, they just are content with living in the miry clay. But you know the problem with living in the miry clay is as long as you stay there, for lack of a better term, you're staying there. You don't get out. If anything, and this happens, young people, listen to me, the only thing that happens in miry clay is you keep sinking. And you keep going down. And young people, I want to challenge you this morning. Hey, you can get out of this. You can live your life and do something more with your life than just repeat the process. You don't have to live your life, you know, conforming to whatever, you know, your circumstances have given you. You can get help, okay? Or you can just say, well, I don't need help. And you can say, there's nobody to help me. And you can just sit there. And honestly, the more you move around, the deeper you're going to sink. Sometimes people get in this area of life where, you know, and I don't discount depression, okay? I don't believe that, you know, I don't really believe that most doctors can treat depression, okay? Because depression is more of a spiritual issue than it is a physical issue. The physical issues of depression stem from a spiritual issue of depression, okay? David talks about being overwhelmed many, many times in the book of Psalms. And, you know, I'm not discounting it. It happens. Sometimes you just go through this time of life where it's like, man, life stinks. Okay? I'm not one of the people that's up here and saying, you know, you just need to get over it. Okay? Because it really happens. I'm not going to tell my daughters, all right, just pull your foot out. Come on. It's not that hard. Just do it. They were trying, but they were still stuck. They were still stuck. They were doing the best that they could, but they were still stuck. Okay? And sometimes you say, bro, Chad, I'm going through this time, even maybe right now, I'm going through this time of life when things aren't going well. Life's not nice. Life's not all good. The things that I thought were fun and thought I'd try aren't really working out. I try to tell myself I'm having fun. It's kind of like my daughters. They thought it would be fun to climb the dirt hill. But the problem is that dirt hill was different than all the other dirt hills. And they got up there and it was fun for a while until they realized that they couldn't go anywhere, until they realized that they were stuck. You know, the laughs started to slowly change into cries of distress. And you know, listen to me. It's going to happen. Those things that you thought were going to be fun, the things that the world portrays, the dirt hills the world portrays, that, hey, this will be fun to climb, I can go do this, that's when the devil says, huh, yeah, you thought it was a dirt hill. And then you climb up on top and you start having fun with your friends, and then all of a sudden you look down and you're ankle deep. And you start to pick your feet, oh, I can still move. And you go a little deeper, and before long you're knee deep. And you know, if you get knee deep in mud, I promise you, you're going to have just knee deep. You're going to have trouble getting out. Some people are up to here. They're up to here. Those are who I'm talking about this morning. I'm sure there were times when David thought he was really over his head. We read that. He said, don't let the waters come up over me. This morning I want to reach out to two sets of people. I'm going to talk to the first one, then we'll talk to the last at the end. The first is a group of people who are just stuck in life. Like I said, you may have depression. A lot of people get this sense, well, I'm not really accomplishing anything in life. People go through this, I don't know what they call it, midlife crisis. You know what that basically means is, man, I'm halfway through my life and I've not really done anything. That's basically what it is. I haven't accomplished. You know, listen, how old are you and what have you accomplished in life? I just did the funeral. I mentioned it a couple times. I did the funeral a Monday of a man, and you know, he was a young man. Young man. Didn't really accomplish anything in life. And I don't want to live my life and not accomplish something. I've got a vapor. I want to use it for God. I want to use it to impact the next generation. I hope it's something maybe that I did to help a young person could be outlast what I am. I mean, what if you don't live for the next generation, what are you living for? That's all you've got to live for, okay? It's not about this life. I'm going to give you a few things this morning to hopefully help you, because there is help. God wants to help you. There's people here that want to help you. But you have to make some decisions yourself, or you're just going to spend your life stuck. Guys, you're just going to spend your life stuck in that mud. You're just going to repeat the process. Okay, if you're not happy with your home right now, why would you go down the same road to repeat the same thing? It doesn't make sense, okay? If you can see people that have a happy marriage and a happy life and a successful life, why wouldn't you want to do what they do to get the same results, all right? Let me say this. Getting stuck is a very real problem. It's very real. Brother Chad, you weren't there stuck in the mud with your daughter, so it wasn't a big deal to you. You're right. It really wasn't. But I didn't finish my whole building project story. So I'm digging the water line for my house, okay? I'm digging the water line. I've got a 12,000-pound excavator, okay? And I'm digging the water line, you know, going along, whatever. And I didn't think about it, but the power company, I was digging parallel with where the power company had dug, and I had to cross a ditch that's about 6 foot deep, give or take, okay? So I had to cross this ditch, and so I had to dig through the ditch. Well, they had to dig through the ditch. So I'm digging, going along, and I had to go through a narrow spot. I'm really trying to justify why I got stuck, but it's not really working. So I had to go through this really narrow spot, and I had to crowd real close. Well, the wall of their trench caved in on me. So I slide off into their trench, and I'm stuck. Okay, the creek's got water in it. I'm stuck in this creek with my excavator. Now, an excavator usually, you can pull yourself out. I mean, they've got the strength to pull themselves out. The only problem is I'm not just stuck in a hole. I'm stuck in mud in a hole. Well, it compounds. All that suction just compounds. And so I don't get this. I mean, the building project went really good. And my wife took pictures of the whole thing, you know. And there's crowning moments of life when, you know, you're on top of a building. You know, you look really good up there. You know, setting trusses, Brother Josh. You know, that's when you want the picture taken. You know, you're achieving something. So she's got like one picture of us setting trusses. And she spent like 3 hours by the ditch taking pictures of different, you know, different predicaments that I had this excavator in. I don't really understand. You know, I would thought, you know, this is, no, we produce a book. You know what half of it is? Excavator pictures of me being stuck. That's what, I don't understand, anyway. But you say, Brother Chad, you were stuck. Yes. And trust me, I tried everything to get out. I mean, I did. If I could reach something around me. I mean, I had my bucket stuck in a tree trying to pull myself up out. I was stuck so deep. I was such an angle when I would turn the excavator around. I had to put my feet on the windshield, like up on the windshield of the excavator, because you're looking down into the ditch, like the water. The water's coming up into the cab. I've got, when I turn the other way, I'm blowing bubbles out the back with my exhaust, okay? I mean, I am in bad shape. I'm like, okay, well, I got the skid steer here. I'll go get the skid steer, and I'll have my wife, you know, she would have got great joy in that. I'll have my wife run the skid steer, and surely between the two of us, you know, we weigh about the same, but between the strength I've got and the strength of the skid steer, surely we can, didn't budge it. Didn't even budge it. Now, she wasn't running it right. That's the problem. But didn't budge it. And I thought, okay, well, the neighbor's got a backhoe. So we went down to the neighbor, and he brought his full-size backhoe, probably about the size of Brother Josh. He's brought his full-size backhoe down. And hydraulically, you have a lot of power between two machines working together. We didn't budge it. I mean, he starts scooting across the ground. So we got another neighbor. He brought a four-wheel drive tractor over. So we hooked the backhoe to it and a four-wheel drive tractor, and we can't, I mean, and the machine working, and we can't budge it. I mean, it is stuck. And I'm like, what do you do at this point? What do you do? And so, listen, I've been stuck before. Very stuck before. And it's just, it's one of those things you feel helpless, because you think, well, I should have the power to do this. I should be able, of my own strength, I should be able to do this. Well, okay, I can't do this. I'm going to go to my friends and ask them if they can help me. So I go to my friends, and, you know, between the two of us, we can't do it. And you try to get, everybody builds these support groups of equals, honestly, that really, you're not really accomplishing anything except tearing my yard up, okay? That's all we were accomplishing. We couldn't move it, okay? So getting stuck is a very real problem. Let me say, secondly, progress is hard in the mud. You know, when I'm stuck, I wasn't digging. When my girls were stuck, they weren't moving. And you're going to get, you say, Brother Chad, I just don't seem like life is, I'm not doing anything with life. You know why? Maybe because you're stuck someplace. You're stuck someplace. So getting stuck is a very real problem. I'm not blaming you, okay? It's okay. We've all been stuck. We've all been in those young people, you go through these times of life when you're like, okay, where am I at? What am I doing? Okay, what's life next for me? Okay, those transition times, especially from high school to, you know, being an adult. It's like, oh, this is, okay, sometimes you're just going to be stuck. And you got to be careful, because in those times, if you're not careful, you keep trying to move and you keep trying to do what you think will help you. You know, the more I worked with the excavator, the deeper I got. If I would have quit right off the bat, instead of just trying to get it out myself, it wouldn't have been near as hard to get out. But because I kept digging and pulling and scratching and moving, before long, I mean, I had mud all the way up the half of my excavator. Okay, mud was over the tracks. I couldn't move. Why? Because I kept trying to do it myself. Progress is hard in the mud. Many times the more you try to get out of the mud, the deeper you go. And some of you are at this place in life where, Chad, my mom and dad don't know about it, but I'm just floundering right now. Now listen to me. The first part of getting out of the mud is realizing that you're stuck in the mud. You know, most people don't want to ever admit that. Most guys, me right here, I didn't want to admit that I was stuck. My wife is there. I was like, here, watch this. Take a video of this. We'll post this on, you know, whatever. Of me getting out of this big hole. So she's probably taking this video, laughing at me. And you know what? I didn't get out of the hole. Why? Because I'm stuck. I'm stuck. Although I thought I could do it myself, I couldn't. I was stuck. Brings us to number three. Getting out first involves recognition of the problem. Getting out first involves recognition of the problem. Most people just squander and flail, and they don't realize that they're stuck. Okay? Well, I can do this. This is no big deal. I'll just keep going. You know, one of my problems that I did was, while I was stuck, I thought, well, since I'm down in the ditch, it makes sense to go ahead and dig across the ditch while I'm in the ditch, right? I mean, I'm already here. Well, the only problem is it made a bigger hole, okay? And which I fell into later, which is another story. But you know, most of the time, listen to me, our pride keeps us from getting the help that we need. Right. You know, people, your pride's going to, well, my mom and dad did it this way, you know, and they're living, you know, however. And listen, hey, if you got good Christian mom and dad, you ought to put them up and you ought to follow what they're doing if they're doing what's right. But if the only examples that you have in life, you know, are just kind of squandering and not doing anything, you ought to, hey, I want to do something different with my life. I want to do something, okay? I want to serve God. I want to live for God. You got to recognize that there's a problem. This you hear this statement. No one there understands what I'm going through. No one understands what it's like to be where I'm at. I hear that. Listen, somebody understands where you're at. I guarantee you, young people, in this auditorium this morning, somebody has sat where you're sitting. Somebody's been in the same mud that you're in and deeper. And they're still here this morning. They've been there. They've done that. Okay? This just isn't fair. You hear that? This just isn't fair. Okay? This life, why is this happening to me? This isn't fair. You hear this statement. I want to enjoy the life that I want to live. I just want to go have fun. I just want to go, you know, climb the hill. Okay. But what happens when you get to the top and then you can't move? And the devil does that. If you always think that everything is fine and you won't recognize your need of help, honestly, you're just likely to sit there in the mud. You know what my daughters finally had to do? Yell for help. You know what I finally had to do? Is go get help. I did. I finally had to go get help. I had to go get help from somebody that could actually help me. All right? Getting involved, this brings us to number four. Getting out involves asking for help. Let me say this. You know, if you're stuck in the mud, this is a profound thought. Really, this is Green County theology. If you're stuck in the mud, you have to go outside of the mud to get help. Okay? If you're stuck in the mud, you have to go outside of the mud to get help. Emily and Gwen were of no benefit to each other. Does that make sense? Okay? If I'm stuck in the mud, or if somebody's stuck in the mud, it doesn't do me a whole lot of good to go, you know, tromp through the mud to get to them. Because you know what happens? You try to work with each other, and you know, pretty much you just make each other sink farther. You know, you got to go someplace besides your peers most of the time for help. You just can't, well, you know, I'm just going to go to my mom and dad don't understand. I'm going to go to, you know, somebody that's my same age. You know what you're doing? And I'm not being mean. My heart goes out to you. You're just tromping around in the same mud. They're just as stuck as you are. They are. They're just, if they're with you in it, they're just as stuck as you are. You can't get help from them. Okay? You can't get any help from them. It seems all the time that people all the time try to get out of the mud by seeking help from the same people that are stuck in the mud. You know, Christians, I'm thankful for our willingness to help those that are floundering in life. But why are we going to the same place and getting sunk down in the same mud trying to help those that need help? The prodigal son's father didn't go to the far country with him. Okay? He stayed at home. And when the son needed help, he was there for him. Okay? I've really tried. I want to be this way in my life. I want to know that young people, that we love you and that we care about you. But I'm not going to chase you. Okay, listen to me. I'm not going to chase you. I've been going to the same church my whole life. 30 years. I've been going to the same church my whole life. You know, if you need something, you know probably a good place to find me? It's right here. You know, I've had the same phone number ever since I had a phone. I've never changed my phone number. You know, if you need something, you can always call. But Brother Chad, that would require me admitting, that's the problem. We don't want to admit that there's a problem. We just want to say, well, I'm okay. I can handle, I think I got this. I think I can handle this myself. And we don't want to admit that there's a problem. I want you to know that we love you. I want you to know that we care about you. All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is ask. But no, a lot of people are just going to squander their life in the mud puddle and just get deeper and deeper. Listen, if you're going through like a depression thing, I don't discount that. But, you know, watching the whatever afternoon talk show doesn't help that. They are not an answer to your problems. I work in some apartments with some older ladies, and they'll always have something on. And it's amazing. And I'm not, you know, I don't know if I should use this word, but the stupidity that is promoted through these things. Absolutely ridiculous. Okay? And we got to be careful about, I'm just going to go to my peers. I'm going to go to what does the world think? Okay? Have you looked at the world? They're up to here in mud. Okay? Don't go to what the world thinks. Go to what God thinks. You can't get help from those that are equal to you. I believe that most of the time when a person finally realizes they can't do it themselves, you know what? It requires a stronger person. Go to Mark chapter number 1. We're almost done. Mark chapter number 1. We've got a lot of fun things out there. So we'll wrap it up. Mark chapter number 1. We're going to look at, you know, Jesus was good at helping people out of the mud. Helping people out of predicaments. That's what he spent his time here on. Honestly, that's what Jesus spent his time here on earth doing, was helping people out. People that were drowning in mud. All right? We see here, and I just picked up a few that kind of went along with what he was talking about. Mark chapter number 1, verse number 30. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand, and what does it say? And lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. You know what the first thing that had to happen here? Now I know Jesus knows all things, but he had to be aware that there was a problem. Somebody had to come to him and say, hey, Simon's wife is, you know, Simon's wife's mother, she's sick. You know what that was? That was a cry for help. Hey, can you help us? Can you help me? That was a cry for help. You know what Jesus did? He said, hey, here, give me your hand. And he picked her up. And the Bible says, as soon as she raised up, the fever left her. Luke 17:13. Bible says, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You know how many times in the Bible somebody called on the name of Jesus? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, have mercy on us. What is that? That's a cry for help. It's a cry for help. You first have to admit that there is a problem. If you never admit that there's a problem, you'll never get the help. Hey, you know what? You have to admit. You know how you get to heaven? You have to admit that there's a problem. You'll never get to heaven unless you admit that there is a problem. It won't happen. That's salvation. That's what salvation is. And a lot of people are going to end up in hell because they think that they got this under control. I can handle this. I can make my way to heaven. No, you can't. You can't. There are people around that want to help you. You can beat the depression. You can beat the discouragement that's sucking at your feet. You can overcome the worthlessness of life. You can do something. You need to look for help. You know, the Word of God is a place that you can run to for help. Good music is a place that you can go to for help. Remember what I said about why would you go to people that are your peers to get help? In the same way, why would a person go listen to music that advocates the lifestyle that you're trying to get out of? Why do you do that? Okay, it doesn't make any sense. You're just tromping around the mud, and they're pushing you deeper and deeper and deeper. Good music will help you. I said earlier that there's two groups of people. And let me finish with the first one first. For those of you that are saved, a lot of times you get in these spiritual mud holes. And life just isn't, you know, listen, your feet's stuck, and no matter how hard you try, you get stuck. Hey, you know what sometimes happens? You say, Brother Chad, you know what? What's the penalties of getting stuck in the mud? All right, well, number one, you're dirty. Makes sense, right? And number two, a lot of times you leave things behind that you brought with you. You know what Emily and Gwen left in the mud? Their boots. You know, don't think, well, I'm just gonna get dirty and then, you know, I'll just get cleaned up and everything will be okay. Sometimes you're gonna leave some things behind. It's gonna cost you some stuff. But there's no reason. Well, I just, you know, would it be silly for a person that's stuck in quicksand and about to die, say, well, I want help, I need help, but I'm afraid if you pull me out, I'm gonna lose my shoes. So I'm just going to stay here. That doesn't, yeah. I mean, Ethan's got this. You lose your shoes. Well, if I leave the mud, I'm going to leave them behind. Then leave them behind. It's not worth spending your whole life stuck in the mud. Leave them behind. Okay? You can get victory over it. You know what I had to do? When I got my excavator stuck, I had to swallow my pride and say, all right, I can't do it. My friends can't do it. My family can't help me. And I had to call a semi-wrecker. A semi-wrecker. Poor boys. I think it's poor boys. Poor boys? Nice guys. I call them it was probably 10 o'clock at night. I call them. And if you've ever, those guys that have had semi-wreckers, they're not a cheap venture. And I'm thinking, oh, great. I call him and he's like, oh, yeah, we'll be over there. He shows up later. And you know what? It's amazing with the right piece of equipment. He just put his outriggers down. He didn't even put his whole rig together. He just put his outriggers down, hooked onto it, and that thing come right up out of the mud. You know what I had to do? I had to go ask for help from somebody that could help me. You know, sometimes you spend your whole life asking friends for help, and sometimes you never go to God for help. Sometimes we spend our whole life asking family for help, and we never go to God for help. Okay? Sometimes you just need to go to God. Sometimes God's going to put you on your knees, so the only place you can look is up. Okay? Go to God for help. Go to somebody that you trust for help. Somebody that, listen to me, that's not in the mud. You're not going to get help in the mud. The only place you're going to get help is outside the mud. You know, he didn't bring his wrecker and sit down in the ditch for me. We would have had to have three wreckers to get him out. Okay? Go to somebody outside of the mud. The second group that I'm going to talk to this morning, we'll be quickly done, is those that are sunk and are stuck or lost in their trespasses and sin. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter number 2. I referenced this earlier, but you know, you can't get to heaven. You know, your sin has condemned you. You're stuck in your sin. You're lost in your sin. I am. I was lost in my sin. Nothing I could do of my own good could get me to heaven. And you know what? Nothing I can do because of my last name is going to get me to heaven. Nothing I can do because of who I know or the friends I know is going to take me to heaven. Ephesians chapter number 2. Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Verse 1, 2, and 3, you know who this is a picture of? Those that are stuck. Okay? It's fun for a while. My kids had fun. Okay? I'm not the best excavator operator, but I know my machine very well. Let's just leave it at that. And I couldn't get it out. I had two other operators there. One of them tried. He was supposed to be really good. And he couldn't even get the machine turned around. Okay? We tried. And some people are trying their best to get, some people in here, and maybe not in here, but people try their best to get to heaven. Well, I'm just going to, I'll do the best I can, and when God looks at me, and when God looks at you, you're still going to be stuck in your sins. That's what God's going to see. So we see the first three verses, the life of those that are stuck in their sins. Verse number 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You know what saved me? It wasn't my good works. It wasn't the things that I did. You know what got me out of that mess? Absolutely nothing I did. Except, you know what the one thing I did do? I called for help. You know, and honestly, salvation's a lot like that. God's willing. God's able. But Brother Chad, you don't know what I've done. God's grace is greater than all of your sins. It doesn't matter how bad you're stuck. He's got a way out for you. God's grace is greater. God's mercy is greater. But you know, it still takes a call. Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call." It doesn't say for whosoever just sits there and wishes, "I wish I wasn't in this predicament. I wish I didn't live in this thing." No, it's whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I read the story of one man in the Bible who didn't call. One man who thought that, the good things that I do, the things that I have are going to be enough. And it came to pass that the beggar died. It was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, He lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. A sad story about a man who wouldn't call when he had the chance. And now his chance is over. And he's stuck where he's stuck. Young people, listen, God's got something good for you. He's got something special for you. You can beat everything that the world says that you have to be, and you can do something with your life. If you're not saved here this morning, you know God's got something for you. But the biggest challenge that we usually have is you have to admit, number one, that there's a problem. You have to admit that there's a problem. That's the first step to getting help, all right? First step to getting saved is to admit that you're a sinner. Okay, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've done wrong. That's the first step. The second step is to ask for help. You know, salvation is not hard. All right? I don't believe that you ought to make salvation. It's not, you know, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. But if you realize that you have sin and that because of your sin, you're condemned like the rich man was to spend an eternity in hell, okay, that's where you're stuck. And you're going to stay there until you get help. You know where that help comes from? Jesus Christ. Jesus said, hey, I've already paid that. All you have to do is ask me for it, and I'll help you. I'll help you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's, your sin, no matter who you are, no matter what you say, Brother Chad, I've done, doesn't matter. God's grace covers it all. God's mercy covers it all. But you have to make that first decision. I can't do it for you. You have to do it. And scores and scores of people in this room have realized, number one, that they're a sinner. They've realized that there's a penalty for their sin. And that penalty, you're spending eternity in hell. That's the penalty. But number three, all you have to do is ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. And he'll, you know, all it took was a call. All it took for my girls to get out of that mud was say, Mommy, I need your help. Mommy. And Mom went over and got him out. Okay? Are you saved? Are you squandering in life? Are you just kind of flailing around, not making any progress? God's got something better for you. Trust me. Okay? He's got something better. And if you're not saved, today would be a good day to get saved. Okay? I mean, why would you spend another day squandering in it? What's the joy of that? I was relieved when that record got there. I was relieved. All right? There was a weight lifted, especially when he only charged me $200. I mean, that was a miracle in itself. But you know, God's free. He don't charge you anything. Something to think about. Let's pray. Father, Lord, kind of a different maybe mess, Sunday morning message, but God, Lord, I know there's a lot of young people in here, not just 5th through 12th, but maybe even older, young adults, Lord, my age maybe even, Lord, that we sometimes it's so easy just to get in this state of life where we just kind of spin our wheels and we're not making any progress and life really doesn't have any meaning. God, I pray, Lord, that you just help us. Help us to realize that we got to get help. Get help from outside of the mud. Help us to quit turning to our friends, quit turning to our peers. Lord, help the young people to know here that we do love them and we want to help them. And our desire is to help them. God, I pray that you just bless them. Lord, if there's some in here today that would say, Brother Chad, I've never been saved. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't know that if I died today, if I would spend the rest of my eternity in hell. And Lord, that's the future. That's the outcome of those that don't call upon you. Lord, I pray if there's those here today that would say that. Say, Brother Chad, I don't know that I'm saved. I pray that today they would be saved. And Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that you give us to come to your house. In Jesus' name, amen.